Good evening, Terry. I own a motel. That's important to you. And you'd be welcome to spend the night one of the afternoons if you'd like.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns! And I'm the devil.
Hello, horror fans. This is Brian Dead with another episode of the Necronomicast. Today on the show, the Reverend Podfather and Dr. Death interview Belinda Blasky. Oh, you might know her from movies like, let's say, Gremlins. Maybe The Howling, one of my favorites, and of course, Piranha. In that movie, she gets fishy. But, again, my favorite movie was The Howling. Mainly because I also have my own little werewolf pet right here. Say something. Hey, say something, Fuzzy. Oh, that's a good dog. Dog, you want something to eat? Oh, you do. Oh, you do. Right. Ow, ow. Oh, that was my arm. Oh, well. Stay tuned and listen to this wonderful interview by one of our favorite guests from a movie with lots of flesh-eating fish, Belinda Blasky, right here on the Necronomicast.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We are doing well. Again, we appreciate you coming on the show. I guess we kind of wanted to find out just a little bit about, we're going to basically talk today a little bit about the movies that you've done in our genre, which is the horror, sci-fi kind of stuff.
Okay.
And kind of wanted to find out, you got into, actually, before that, you were into a lot of TV before you started out in television.
Yeah, that's right.
And tell me about how you first started getting into television, and what was that leap from television to movies?
Well, I had done some theater here in Los Angeles at the Met Theater that was run by Jim Gammon and Timothy Scott. And they had just come back from doing Macon County Line and opened this tiny 47-seat theater called the Met Theater, and opened a play called Bus Stop. And in that 47-seat theater, we won 5 of the L.A. Drama Critics Circle's awards. I won Best Supporting Actress. We won Best Play, Best Director, Best Set, Best Supporting Actor and Actress.
Wow.
And that was up against the Amundsen, the Mark Taper Forum, the Schubert Theater, all the huge theaters. And we walked out with all these awards. So suddenly, we had a slew of casting people and people like Cloris Leachman and everybody you can imagine sitting in our audience in this tiny little theater. And I went on to do 2 more Inge plays. I did Dark at the Top of the Stairs and Picnic, and I won Robbies on both of those. And by the time all of that, you know, sort of happened in about a year and a half, I was working. I just organically was working on television. And then I guess my first film was Bobby Joe and the Outlaw, and I was in a workshop with Lou Dressler and Mary Lynn Ross and Linda Carter, and and Peggy Stewart, and there were a few of us in that workshop. And Mary Lynn was dating or living with Mark Lester, and he wanted to put together this film called Bobby Joe and the Outlaw. And so he came into the workshop and watched some of our scenes and pretty much cast everything except Marjo's part out of that workshop.
Oh, wow.
And that was my first movie. And from there, Tina Hirsch was actually editing that. And even though it wasn't a New World production, Roger was letting Tina use the editing bays there at New World because they had lots of them, and they were, you know, filmmaker-friendly. And so Tina was using one of the editing bays, and she happened to be sitting next to a man named Joe Dante, who was editing a film called Hollywood Boulevard, his first film. And so they would say, well, what do you think of this shot? What do you think of this cut? What do you think of that? And so they were helping each other, you know, cut together the films. Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry about all these sirens. And that's how she began watching me, was helping Tina, working with Tina. You know, they were working with each other, helping each other cut. And And so he, from there, I went on to do Cannonball. And he and Paul Bartel were very good friends, and actually he actually has a, Joe Dante has a small part in Cannonball. And so when I went into the audition for Piranha, I didn't know anything of him, but he'd been watching me all along, so he knew quite a bit about me. And his first comment was, "We've worked together before." And I almost fell on the floor. I said, "Are you kidding? And what?" I was so embarrassed. I didn't know. And then all of a sudden, I remembered he was the greaser mechanic in Cannonball, and I went, "Oh my God, you're that kid, the mechanic." And then we had this mutual fan club. We were both just totally, you know, thought each other were so brilliant.
And you're just geeking out on each other.
I've now done 11 films and TV shows with Joe, you know. Oh, wow.
So Piranha was that kind of your first horror experience?
That was my first, yeah, that was my first horror film, yeah, because Bobby Joe was just a little adventure film, and Cannonball was a little road show. And
how was your first horror experience?
Well, it was great fun. I mean, Joe was much fun to work with, you know. And of course, well, at the time, Rob Bottin was 16 years old, and we were all very young and willing and wanting and, you know, ready to do anything anybody asked. And, you know, so when they were tying the fish on me for the underwater shot, you know, they're like, "Do you mind if we just put, I think we'll just put gaffer's tape." I'm like, "Oh, okay." You know, it was all good until they went to peel it off.
So
things like that, you know, they sort of seem low budget, but we all live and learn, you know.
Oh yeah, duct tape piranhas.
Yeah, all of us. You know, we had to retake the underwater shot anyway, because when Roger saw the dailies, he's like, more blood, and it was shot way too wide.
Just so they take more tape back off, and you'll get all the blood you want.
Yeah.
I said, "Excuse me, have you guys ever heard of a bodysuit?" You know.
So speaking of the other horror movie that I'm sure a lot of our listeners want to know about, your Howling experience.
Right. Well, because of Piranha, which John Sayles, of course, also wrote, of course, unbeknownst to me, I guess he seemed to like my character Betsy so well that he based the character of Carrie Fisher, this character was not in the book, The Howling, but he created the character of Carrie Fisher out of the character of Betsy in Piranha. And what I didn't know was the part was written for me, and I didn't know that. I mean, I went in, you know, like everybody else, it was like an audition, you know. But Joe said, eventually told me, "No, you already have the part, and it was written for you." And I was like, "Oh, my goodness." Yeah, so, that was John Sayles. I love him, you know.
Now, are you a fan of horror movies in general?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit. In fact, I think I've only seen Howling once.
Really? Oh, wow. So that had to have been a weird experience, though. I mean, were you there when they were doing the special effects right?
First of all, when we shot The Howling, there was no werewolf. And it was actually three, four months later after we wrapped the picture that Rob finished the werewolf. So if you watch the office scene, let's say, where interact with the werewolves, you will notice, if you watch it not in normal motion but in slow motion, that my hair actually grew 3 inches between.
So did the werewolves.
So if you watch it in slow motion, you'll see my hair go bloop 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 bloop, and then you'll know exactly shot for shot.
Wow. So what were you acting to?
You know,
then?
The scene is so good, nobody notices it unless they watch it in slow motion.
Yeah.
I mean, it is seamless. So, you know, I mean, we're shooting all our single takes, all our close-ups, everything, not having known what the werewolf looked like, what it could do, how big it was. And then we had to match those shots 3 months later with the werewolf in the shot.
How hard is it to do that where there's nothing there that you're interacting with? How hard is that to try to get that down?
Well, I have a vast imagination, so it's not hard for me.
So they brought the werewolf back, and you had to match that up? Did you interact with the werewolf at all? And did they release it on you?
Yeah, once Rob finished it, we all came back. Me, Dee, Chris, and Dennis came back in and shot for another week or so, you know, and did all our doubles. Anything we had with the werewolf in the shot, right. we shot at that time.
What were you thinking, not being a fan of horror movies, what were you thinking when they first brought that in and put the werewolf in the scene with you?
Well, you know, I had already done Piranha with Rob, so I had great trust in Rob Bottin. And no, I really did. I was like, okay, whatever, you know, and... You know, people say, well, when did you know it was a classic? Well, I had no idea. No one has any idea. No. You don't know what it is until 20 years later, to be honest, you know. I mean, you really don't. You have no way of knowing it's going to become, you know, what it became. But when you compare it now to CGI... I think the appreciation level goes up pretty high.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, certainly, especially on that movie. I think that the special effects on that, the practical effects.
Yeah, there's nobody
great.
Like Rob. No, there's nobody like Rob Bottin. I mean, there's Rick Baker, and, you know, he was Rob's mentor. So, you
right.
know, they come from the same string of cuts.
Yeah, and there's a whole backstory to that whole thing, too, as far as that movie, the werewolf. And the creation of that, there's a yeah. really interesting backstory to that too.
I wasn't going to go there though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, a little tension involved on that story.
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. it seems like you know, what are you working on currently that you'd like to maybe talk
well,
about?
Well, right, or... I'm not working on anything that I'm acting in. Although there are a lot of scripts sitting on my floor right now, but they're all young filmmakers that I've met at these conventions and mm-hmm. on Facebook. Who have been sending me things because they're fans from way back. And if they get their funding, there's some seriously hot scripts sitting here.
Wow.
But, you know, it's all about money, and that's, yep. you sit around and wonder and worry and wait. But I've been writing a lot, and I teach. I have an acting school for kids, so I've been doing a lot of over the past 25 years. And, yes, it's called DB's Kids Acting School, and it's, you know, commercials, TV and film, musicals, you know, voiceovers, pretty improv, all that. And I've been running that for a really long time. And I've started a lot of amazing kids. I started Miranda Cosgrove. She was 4 when she
nice.
Came to me. And, you know, she went on to do Jake and Josh. And
Right.
iCarly. My daughter's a big fan of iCarly.
Yeah, everything, wow. you know, the Jack Black film. And Vanessa Lee Chester started with me, who did Jurassic Park 2 and
right.
my Little Princess and all kinds of films. And David Mazouz, who's just starring as Kiefer Sutherland's son, started with me on the show Touch.
Oh, cool.
If watching that on TV, he's really becoming a huge success right now. And if you watch the commercials, I mean, most of these are my kids, so.
Really?
Yeah, I have a lot of commercials running right now with my kids.
So you mentioned the conventions. Are you doing the convention circuit a lot, or have you?
I'm just starting. I've only done a few back east and some here in L.A., but I just got asked and just got confirmed to do Germany in March. Hey, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I mean, really, can you imagine? And I think I'm going to be in Ohio, and I think I'm going to be in Minnesota sometime in the fall.
It'll be in our neck of the woods.
Contracted, so I can't really say it yet.
Yeah.
I think it's in the works.
How's your convention experience been? A lot of fans?
Great. I love it. It's been so much fun. I mean, at the beginning, I thought it was a very weird thing, but now...
Kind of is.
I did. I have to admit, I really did. But now you meet so amazing people, and it's such a great networking. And there's so much appreciation. How can you possibly be upset about it? I mean, people are just amazingly kind, and they remember you, and they're the fans of these films are fans. They're not messing around. They're true, you know, true to the core fans. And they're anti-CGI. You know,
yeah.
they're all... into, you know, this old kind of way, I guess, of making movies, which I think is the only way. But
yep. Anything in the future, if you guys got, you know, if you got anything going on that you would like to promote?
Well, I'm towards the end of 5 years of working on a novel with my writing partner called Chardonnay. It's about a girl from Iran, who eventually, because her grandma dies, comes to live in America. And it's a bridge from Iran and the vast Persian Empire and all that it meant and was to America and here today. A really interesting, very political.
So this is almost in completion now?
Yes, we're actually towards the very end of working with our editor, and yeah, there's a light at the end of this tunnel.
It could be a long time.
And I also, I've been, for the past 25 years, while I was working a lot, my mother was a musician, so I was always around musicians, and, you know, some of my best friends were like CSN, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and Bonnie Raitt, and all these people that I ended up having press passes to their concerts, so I been shooting rock and roll for about 20 years, and I'm currently trying to digitize all of these slides and,
oh, really?
And publish a book at the table. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Table.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wow. Very excited. I have a lot of things actually in the publishing works right now.
Well, that'd be awesome to get you back on the show sometimes when those come out. I'll have to help
yes,
promote that.
I would like very much to have all of this come out and see where it takes me, you know.
Yeah. We look forward to that.
Thank you.
Again, we really want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to speak with a couple of horror fans out of Omaha, Nebraska.
And, very nice. Well, thank you for asking, and best wishes.
You've been listening to the Necronomicast, a weekly podcast produced by Tim Welch and Wayne Brecky, part of the Free Life Media Network. For show notes and other information, go to necronomicast.libsyn.com.